I'm thankful to be here, thankful to be in God's house, thankful for the meetings that we had with Brother Garraway. That was one Sunday. Then the Sunday after that, we had Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Kevin Folger, filling this hour, and now you have me. Yay. Glory to God. Amen. That's great. We're excited about that, right? Anyway, very thankful to be here. We're going to talk about something very exciting today, something that I think a lot of people get confused about in the spiritual life. We're going to be talking about the struggle of the Spirit. The struggle of the Spirit. It's something often confused with struggles that you have that you might not be able to have victory over, but I think there are some things that we're going to learn today in the verses, in the lesson that we'll be able to glean from that I hope will be able to help us. Really, I think this dovetails well with the meetings that we had with Brother Garraway, what we're about to be talking about today, because what he was trying to get us to do then was nothing more but live in the Spirit, right? That's all he was trying to get us to do. He was hoping the Lord was going to help him with that, and I think he did, because since those meetings, I've noticed improvements in my own life. I hope you've noticed improvements as well. I pray you didn't come in here tired and hoping to just get through Sunday school. Sunday school ought to be our favorite time. Sunday school is the time I get most excited about, because that's when we as a church family plod through along the Word of God together. And I think we ought to enjoy that and appreciate that. All right, all that to get you to Romans chapter 7, verse 15. And I'll begin reading right at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that will, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, or for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So I will start this lesson by way of illustration this morning. You'll notice, by the way, this lesson is really designed as a two-part lesson with the one coming after it, where we go more into verse 8. So if it seems relatively undone or halfway, that's the nature of the lesson. I'll try to wrap it up at the end as best as I can. But we're going to be dealing primarily with the struggle of the Spirit today. To the illustration, who remembers in 2013 the pilot that landed the Airbus on the Hudson River? Yeah, everyone in this room remembers that. The white-haired guy, Tom Hanks, characterized him in a movie. And if you get Tom Hanks to characterize you in the movie, you had to have done something amazing, because that guy gets around. So to go through that again, the illustration of Captain, his name was Chesley Sullenberger. He landed an Airbus A320 on the Hudson River. Now, here's what happened to him that morning. He was pulling out of LaGuardia in New York, intending on landing in Charlottesville. He got about 20 feet, or he flew about 20 minutes, which at that point you're still ascending. Unexpected to him, birds got into the engines as he was flying. A flock of birds got into the engines, blew both the engines. One of the engines actually caught on fire. So Captain Sullenberger is sitting there going, "Oh no, okay." So here's what he does. He thinks to himself, "Okay, well, I can't go back to LaGuardia. We're too far away. I know I'm not making it to Charlotte. That's just not going to happen. I am in the most densely populated part of the country right now in a plane that's going down. What am I going to do?" okay, I'm going to land it on the Hudson. So this man, he takes that plane, that Airbus A320, and he's lining it up with the Hudson River. And this guy's analyzing 1,000 different variables in his mind, right, in his visuals right now. He's looking at airspeed. He's looking at wingtip, you know, versus what the flatness of the water is. He's got to land that thing just so on the water, because if one wing dips into the water, the whole plane's going to go like that in the same way on the other side. So he's looking at the levels of the water. He's looking at the levels of the plane. He's analyzing airspeed as it's coming at him. He's focusing on drift, nose, everything. And he takes that plane, and he very calmly lands it right on the Hudson. Instinctively, he immediately runs back there, gets all 155 people off safely, goes another round, walks all the way back to the plane. By this point, he's waist deep in water. He's walking all the way up, and then he gets himself out of the plane. He walks out of the plane an American hero. We've made a movie about him, and the whole country knew about him. Everyone in this room knew about that guy. Great. Now, let's rewind the tape a little bit. Let's talk about what his brain was doing while this was happening. Ah! What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? We're going to die. We're all going to die. That's what his brain was doing. His flesh, he told after the interview, after this is all done, somebody interviewed him and asked him. They said, what did that feel like? He said, I'll tell you what it felt like. It felt like the worst pit of the stomach feeling I have ever experienced in my whole life. And he said, here's what I dealt with. I have 42 years of experience flying a plane. In those 42 years of experience, I have made steady deposits in the bank of experience and education. Experience and education. And it just so happened after 42 years, I had to withdraw most of that out, but there were sufficient funds for what we needed that day. And that's what got them safe. Why do I say that to you? The point is, while his nature was screaming at him to fear, panic, and react hastily, his 42 years of experience was what he chose to draw from. And because of that, nobody was hurt. Our Christian lives, friends, are exactly the same. When we get saved, we are a new creature and are being taught Bible truths. The Holy Spirit brings in a new set of desires. We are a new creature that has the potential to live a godly life. Our old nature, and you got to get this, crucified with Christ. Because of this, we do not have to be slaves to sin. Okay? So while we do have a new nature, it resides in this old flesh. Right? So therein lies the struggle. The flesh against the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never leave us, but neither will our flesh. Our Holy Spirit is inside of this flesh that we have to walk around in every single day of our lives. So we constantly work against a well-programmed flesh, a brain, a body, and physical impulses that just won't quit. And that, if we let it, will become ingrained sinful patterns of behavior. But Satan, and by the way, I want to say this, this is not a lesson about Satan and his influence. Satan will work in conjunction with our flesh. But if Satan had never existed, trust me, friends, our flesh would give us enough problems on its own. Our flesh troubles us every day. So there will be no blame shifting in this lesson. Now, I want to say this. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have a new set of desires. To please God, to live a righteous and holy life, to avoid sin, and to let Him live through us. As Brother Garraway said, these hands are not my hands, these hands are His hands. That desire is inside of us. Even if it's not inside of your mind, it's inside of the Holy Spirit, which is inside of you. That's in you somewhere. What we need to do is grasp these concepts twofold. There's an ongoing struggle with the Spirit. That's the first thing. But we do have a new nature and can live in victory. We go back to that illustration, and I want to really button that up for you. With his flesh grabbing him, screaming at him to do something hasty, to do something quick, because everyone's going to die, what do we think would have happened? We would have seen the wrong kind of news report on Fox News that night, amen? Captain Sullenberger would have died, and no one would have thought any less of him. But because he chose to pull in that nature, because he chose to pull from that, draw from that experience, from teaching, from training, because he chose to draw from that. He made a decision to draw from what was there, what was available to him. Things turned out okay. That's what can happen with us, with our spiritual lives. So I've got two quick points. A lot of Bible verses. Some I'll have you turn to, some I'll just read for you. Two quick points. Point number one, and this is a big one, is that there is a struggle with the flesh. We have to understand our new nature. Go with me to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. We have to have an understanding of this new nature. We have a new nature. It's not our old nature. As I said, our old nature was crucified with Christ on the cross. We are given a new nature. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Friends, it's important to understand the difference between having a new nature and having a sin nature. If you still had your sin nature, you would be doomed to failure. You wouldn't have the capacity to do anything to please God. You wouldn't have the capacity to keep yourself away from sin. It would not be inside of you if you had that old sin nature to do right. It wouldn't be in there. There'd be nothing to draw from. You'd be hopeless. That's why we needed Christ. Because he went on the cross, crucified, and when he was crucified, our sin was nailed to the cross with him. The Holy Spirit came in and gave us a new nature. Through the power of God, I need you to understand this, you can overcome fleshly habits, and we'll get more into that later. But the Scripture teaches us that we are the new nature. We do have a new nature, and we are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We did not just receive a refurbished nature with this same old computing system. This phone has a new battery in it. It was refurbished. All the same computing, all of the same things in it. But it had a new battery in it. It's technically refurbished, taken apart, fixed what was broken, put back together. Aren't you thankful that when Christ died on the cross, he didn't just give you a refurbished nature, he gave you a new nature. Christ gave you a new nature entirely. We are talking about crucifixion here, friends, to the old nature, and a regeneration to the new nature, right? A regeneration. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So number one, you have to understand your new nature. Your new nature is Christ pretty much dwelling inside of you. You have the capability in your lives, if you choose to let God work through you. I think of D.L. Moody when we do lessons like this and we think about the Spirit. Here's the problem in today's society. We want to be blessed. D.L. Moody wanted to be used. That's why D.L. Moody was blessed and why we feel used. We need to think about these things. D.L. Moody woke up every morning dead on arrival at the feet of Christ. And that's why he was used in the great way that he was. Because he understood the capability that he had to do what Christ wanted him to do. He understood we have a new nature. Not a refurbished nature, a new nature. We can serve Christ and we can live a victorious Christian life. So you have to understand that new nature. But number two, you also have to live through your new nature. The first step to real growth in the Holy Spirit The first step to real growth in the Holy Spirit and to spiritual victory over the flesh is to believe what God says about your new nature. Two quick verses. Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 one more time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the first thing. The first step is growth in the Holy Spirit, and you have to understand what God says. But the second step is to put off the old man and put on the new man. To put on Christ, just the same as putting on a new set of clothes every morning. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm going to read that one more time. If you weren't paying attention, that's not the second part of Ephesians. That's Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in the morning when I wake up, and I, most of you know where I work, for I put on that same blue shirt that has the same seven letters across right here, and I go into my same truck, and I drive around to the same customers every time. And you know, when I sit down with people, when I'm in meetings with people, and I'm sitting there, and I'm describing the services, the products, the capabilities of the business that I work for as a sales representative, do you know everything that comes out of my mouth in their mind is as though it's coming out of the mind of Fastenal itself? Do you know that? When I speak and I say something in that meeting, their decision as to whether or not to do business with a $5 billion corporation comes down to whether or not they like Cole Maley. Corporation itself is huge, but I'm the rep in this local area. And their decision as to whether or not they're going to deal with that big corporation is how they feel about me. Friends, when you put on Christ, it's no different. Oftentimes, people will not deal with Christ because we as ambassadors, have represented him incorrectly. So you have to make sure, the same that you put on your shirt in the work in the morning, and you go represent whatever company it is that you work for, you put on Christ in the same light. Christ goes over the jacket of whatever job you have, amen? They ought to see that first before they see who you work for. And if you do that and you represent him, we might see people saved. That's another lesson for another time, but we're going to get back to this. All right, so each day you're going to face the struggle of the flesh against the spirit, and each day you will make a decision when you wake up that morning. Either you're going to put on the new man, or you're going to walk the same old paths of the crucified man. The part of you that was nailed on the cross. You have to make a decision every single morning what you will do, which way you will walk, the new man or the crucified one. So point number one, the struggle is with the flesh. But point number two, and I've alluded to this enough already, but point number two, there is victory through the Spirit. Now, a way to help us see these principles in kind of a, air quotes, big picture form is by understanding God's three-part process in the work of eternal salvation. Now, the moment you trusted Christ, friends, a lot of things happened at once, and a lot of things began to happen at the same time. Salvation in itself is just a one-step decision, but God has ordained a threefold process in the complete work of redemption. If we understand this process, friends, it's going to help us understand the daily struggle of the Spirit in our lives. Now, here's the breakdown, and it's a very simple breakdown, and I want to pause here for the more seasoned spiritual Christians. You're going to know this, and you will be bored by this. And you might even convince yourself that you don't need to hear this. Friends, I'm telling you, and I've been driving my wife crazy talking about this so much this last week. There is a church in Akron that we all know the name of that 50 years ago had 6,700 members in it. 6,700 members. They had everything. They were the biggest church of our stripe in the country. Preaching the Bible. Going soul winning. Having a bus ministry with 50 buses in it. I lived, when I went to Akron, the University of Akron, my wife and I, we lived 3 minutes away from this place on Manchester Road. 3 minutes. Do you know where this place is now? It's non-existent. It no longer exists. Do you know why? Because they got away from the basics of what Scripture teaches. And they started dealing with new things, like, oh, which Bible should we use? Or which tie, should we even wear ties or have standards of dress? Does that even matter? Who needs a bus ministry? They started dealing more in that way. And they got away from the basics. Friends, we need the basics here. So please, pay attention. If the basics are not taught, this church will die. And that's a guarantee from heaven. So here's what it is. We have to have victory through the Spirit. So the three-part process is, A, number one, we need a, number one, a new birth is immediate at salvation. A new birth is immediate. It's salvation. A new birth was the miracle in the moment of your decision to trust Christ. Your spirit was made new, and the Holy Spirit came into your heart. Amen, right? Holy Spirit is in you. God himself lives inside of you with the capability to work through you. Amen. And that happened immediately. Didn't have to do anything for that. It was a free gift of salvation given by Christ on the cross. John, go with me to chapter John, or John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. My brain is working faster than my mouth is willing to let it go. So, John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. And the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You were given a new birth. And in the context of this verse, Nicodemus, and I love this because I hear Paul talk, every time we're soul winning and I hear somebody just talking about this religious thing and that religious thing and this nonsensical thing and this weird question over here, Paul Becker over here brings up chapter 3 of book of John. And in a loving way tells the guy, look, buddy, you need to be born again. I don't want to talk about that. You need to be born again. That's the thing that matters. That's why we're here at your doorstep. You need to be born again. And that is what we have. Doesn't matter about your religion. Doesn't matter about this or that, the other thing. What matters is that you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you were born again. Born again. That's what you have, and it was immediate. A new birth is immediate at salvation. Letter B, renewal is a lifelong, daily, grinding it out every single day process. Renewal is a lifelong, daily process. Renewal is the process of a lifetime. This is called sanctification. The process by which God transforms our hearts and our life from, and this is important, from the inside out. Catch that. From the inside out. Right. Not from the tie. It doesn't make its way from your tie to your heart. It makes its way from your heart to your people. From the inside out. I'm not against wearing ties. I love wearing ties. Don't get me wrong there. Anywhere that I pastor, I'm going to keep the tie. I like wearing ties, personally. Even if I wasn't Christian, I always liked dressing up. So, what was that? I've heard different, but that's okay. He still wears them. That's all that matters. All right. Enough fun. Great. All right. So, the renewal process is the process of a lifetime. It's sanctification. So, I have a couple of verses for you here. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," get this, "day by day." Colossians 3:10 says, and we've seen this, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So your renewal is a lifelong daily process. I've heard it said this way, and I've already mentioned it in this lesson so far. Every morning when you wake up, you ought to submit yourself to Jesus Christ, DOA, dead on arrival. Die to you. You have to die to yourself, die to your will, die to what you want for your life, and just wake up every morning before your feet hit the floor and say, "Christ, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. Whatever you want, whatever you want. You want me to move to the middle of the country? For the rest of the people who gave up on their dreams, I'll go witness to those people." Amen. That's a joke. Y'all can. I'm just joking. I'm sure it's beautiful. I've never been there. All right. I'll go wherever it is that you want me to go. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. I will be willing to, get this, embarrass myself for the cause of Christ. I will be willing to, get this, give financially, sacrificially to the cause of Christ. I will be willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. I will read your Bible. I will pray to you. I will find comfort in you. I will do what you have asked me and what you've called me to do. It doesn't matter. But friends, that's a daily decision you have to make every morning. When you woke up this morning, that should have been the decision that you made. When you wake up tomorrow, the decision that you made today doesn't matter, because tomorrow is no longer where we're at, and yesterday is not where we're at either. It's the day that you're in. The day that you're in is the day that you got to commit to the Lord. And that is a daily renewing process where you have to crucify your flesh the way that Christ already crucified the old man and say, "Get thee behind me, I'm going to do what Christ wants me to do." So renewal is a lifelong, daily process. But friends, and let her see, and this is good, redemption is a future promise. Your redemption is a future promise from your heavenly Father. Redemption is the final step of salvation when our sinful flesh will be traded in for, get this, a new body. A perfect body without sinful tendencies. I'm sorry, there was a typo that I put in here. But how comforting to know. Friends, how comforting is it to know that in spite of all the struggles that we have here, in spite of how tired we feel here, trust me, I get it. We're a small church doing large church ministries, and that needs a high percentage of the church, and that keeps a lot of people busy. Trust me, I get it. We're tired people. I know. We're constantly trying to crucify our flesh to make sure that we have the energy we need to do the ministries that the Lord has called us to do. I'm there with you. I know. We all got jobs and families and people that we need to take care of and needs and all these things. And friends, I'm telling you, at the end of this road, there is redemption for us. There is a new body that's never going to feel tired, that's never going to feel pain, that you're never going to feel sad. And that is a promise from God to us. Romans 8:23 says this, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I apologize if anyone poured me water and I'm not drinking out of that one. I'm scared to death that it's just going to go down my shirt in the middle of the lesson and this thing just catches on fire and I've got to run out. I don't want to do any of that. So I have a bottle here for me. I'm a child. So just please humor me in that respect. Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 5. And the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up of life," or mortality might be swallowed up of life. "Now he that hath wrought us from the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Ephesians 1:14 says, "Which is the earnest of our," get this, "the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Friend, until your body is redeemed, you will be going through renewal and transformation your whole time. The renewing of your mind. Every single day. Even when you're old and you feel like you ought to be past it. And you might even feel like you are past it. Friend, you have another step to go. That's why you're still here. Every single day, the Holy Spirit wants to live out the character of Christ through your mind and your body. This is a daily battle. And friends, what we need to understand here, God didn't make a mistake when he ordained this process. God chose this process for us. He could have just made the process, okay, you're saved, boop up to heaven. Okay, you're saved, heaven you go. Heaven, 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 heaven. Okay, everyone's saved, great. He could have just done that. He's God. He did not do that. He chose to have us walking through this earth in this flesh, having the Spirit inside, working inside of a sinful flesh. Why? For his glory. That's why. John 3, verses 3 through 5. I'm sorry, that's not where I'm supposed to be, is it? Maybe it is. No, it's not. Nope, no more verses. Until your body is redeemed, you will be going through that renewal and transformation. But I want you to see something here, friends. The struggle we see in Romans 7 is very, 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 very frustrating. It is. It's hard. It's frustrating. I don't like getting up early to read my Bible. Once I'm up and doing it, I love it, but to lay in the bed, just it's almost as if, and some people might call this an iodine deficiency, I call it a spiritual battle. It's almost as if the bed itself wraps arms around me and holds me in. It's almost as if that's the case. Who feels that? Who feels it most on Sunday mornings? Aha, yeah, that's the flesh. It's a daily struggle. It's a battle. And it's frustrating. But remember, God chose the process for us. He chose it to glorify himself through the daily transformation of our lives. While the struggle can be discouraging, what we have to remember is that the victory is promised. Friend, the person you were when you got saved is nowhere near the person that you are today. Whether you acknowledge that or not, that is the case. And let me tell you something. This gap right here, that all is glory to God. That gap is glory to God. And whoever you are here, compared to who you are going to be 5 years from now, that gap is glory to God. And it's the daily plodding along of life, letting Christ work through us, seeking to be used of God, climbing up and up and up the mountain that gives glory to God. And he gives us daily victories. He gives us wins. You'll see it. You'll start being used of God, and you'll start seeing cool things happen. D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, which was one of, credited with being the founder of our fundamentalist movement, R.A. Torrey said of D.L. Moody after he had passed away, D.L. Moody, and this, granted, this is 1900, when D.L. Moody died, like 1899 when D.L. Moody died. D.L. Moody had over $4 million passing through his hands. But none of it stuck to his hands. It passed through his hands. And friends, that's the encouragement, at least on a practical level, is that the more that you would yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and the more that you would yield to what Christ wants you to do, the more you'll get to see him do through you. You get to be in the middle, the epicenter of the blessing. You get to see it. You get to see these things. You get to be a part of them. And friends, that will encourage you like nothing you've ever experienced before. But in order to get to that point, you have to wake up, DOA, dead on arrival. Let Christ work through you. And if that happens, the blessings will pass through your hands onto the other people. So some thoughts here, and we will be done. Paul did not end Romans 7 in despair. In verse 24, he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this from the body of this death?" But he quickly answered his own question in verse 25. Amen. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in verse 8, he goes into the blessings of the victorious, awesome Christian life that can happen when you're living through the Holy Spirit.